A rainbow is an optical phenomenon, a captivating sight. The colors never change, and neither does the sequence. Rainbows symbolize good luck, wellness, happiness, health, inclusivity, and diversity, an all-embracing image of love and friendship. A rainbow makes people happy because it symbolizes hope. In life, something beautiful can be produced after pain and struggle. According to film critic Stephen Witte, Veselka, The Rainbow on the Corner, at the center of the world, directed by Michael Fiore, is a lovely doc that starts out being about a venerable East Village restaurant and ends up being about freedom and family. This is Christina Kotlar, podcast host of Film Festival Reviews, and I had the good fortune to speak with Michael about his work. It started as an intimate look at a father and son relationship in a family business started by their Ukrainian patriarch after World War II that galvanized when the war broke out in Ukraine in 2022. It opened their world and outlook to include affected persons in their employ, eventually becoming an integral part as their extended family. It's an American classic of an immigrant's dream to work hard and create a refuge for friends while keeping his love for his homeland, Ukraine, at the forefront. His dream, his rainbow, Veselka, a symbol of hope and beauty after dark times, remains to this day. Listen in. I am here with Michael Fiore, Tom and Jason Burchard, who have taken this small business and turned it into an icon from the 70s, which I remember from that time because I would be going into the city, visiting my friends in the Ukrainian neighborhood, and we're the scouts from the scouting organization, and I remember the candy store and the newspaper store. Of course, there was the Ukrainian Weekly, the Svoboda, and all the things there. And over the years, going into the city, I would always see Veselka, and I would see the mural. Michael, how did you come to decide to make this film and then approach Tom and Jason? Were they excited about it, or did you have to convince them?
I went to NYU film school in the mid to late 90s, and every student knew Veselka. So I've been going there for over 20 years. And during the pandemic, work had really dried up. You know, the entertainment industry, you know, had its many, many, many months on and off of basically being shut down. And so I was considering, you know, what kind of projects I could take on. I was doing a lot of editorial, but not a lot of production. And I love documentary. So I was introduced to Tom and Jason through a mutual colleague. And we sat down in November of 2021. And I knew the general history between the three generations of Vladimir, Dharmakwal, Tom's father-in-law, Jason's grandfather, Tom and Jason. So on a personal note, 2 years prior, my dad had a very serious heart attack and stroke. And I guess, you know, the powers that be brought us all together because it was the perfect time to do a story that celebrated fathers and sons. And I pitched that theme to Tom and Jason. And Jason especially really liked it because, unbeknownst to Tom, he didn't tell Tom at the time. Jason said, you know, I want to do something, if we work together, that really does pay homage to all the work that his dad had done to build this wonderful place. And so we all got along great and everyone was considering it, but things had kind of quieted for a few months. And then there was the talk of a war. And I emailed Tom and Jason when that news started to kind of percolate. And I said, you know, I haven't heard from you guys in a bit. If we want to do this, maybe this is the time to do it, because Vladimir's, you know, he created Veselka to be a refuge for displaced Ukrainians after World War II. And I said, if this war happens, there's could be deep parallels here that, you know, kind of warrant the telling of your story now. and everyone was in agreement, but we also wanted to be very careful about how we approached it. So we didn't just start filming on day one of the war. We actually started on day 11. And the first act of the movie is day 11 of the war.
Tom, I understand what it's like living with that legacy of leaving your homeland hanging over your head. And you must have been hearing a lot of the stories from Volodymyr of what it was like. Did you feel any kind of pressure to know more about what he's talking about? Usually on family holidays, that's what would be happening.
Yeah, my mother-in-law spoke English better than my father-in-law, so she could make herself understood, and he could too. His English wasn't bad; it wasn't as good as hers. But their stories were so interesting to me, and they were so heartfelt that I never really tired of hearing about their early experiences, you know, during the war, and then starting Veselka. And to me, it was so, you know, when I came to Veselka, when I met my first wife, I knew nothing about Ukraine. I knew nothing really about Eastern Europe, and I didn't know a whole lot about, you know, post-World War history in that part of the world. So to hear them tell it from first person memory, it was really interesting. They went through some hard times. I remember my mother-in-law telling me that she was so malnourished and hungry, that she was pregnant with Mikola, my brother-in-law, that she was literally eating the plaster off the walls in the apartment where they were staying. And that, you know, that made a deep impression on me. I'll never forget that, because growing up in America, you know, we don't ever have to face anything even close to that.
And you had this opportunity to change the whole feeling of Veselka, but you kept it Ukrainian. You know, how intentional was that?
I have to say, in the early days when I was really struggling and the Ukrainians were leaving the neighborhood, for a period I thought I would have a better chance of surviving by kind of turning Veselka into more of like a classic coffee shop diner. But I saw early on that the people were really interested in was the real authentic, simple homemade food that that our Ukrainian staff were making. So it didn't take long for me to figure out that we kept diner food and we had developed a really good breakfast. Over time, more and more, I learned that what people really wanted was borscht and pierogies and stuffed cabbage and all the Ukrainian classics. So luckily, we focused on that, and that's been the key to our success.
Jason, do you remember all those foods during the holiday seasons?
Of course I do. And actually, we were reminiscing last night, Mike and I, after watching, after our Q&A, we came back to Veselka to get a bite to eat. And Mike asked me, do you have fond memories of what your grandmother cooked and what was something that she did that you got, that you remembered? And, you know, my grandmother, you know, coming from simple means, you know, always loved to fry onions and butter first thing in the morning, and would butter a roll and slap on a bunch of sauteed onions onto a buttered roll and have that with her coffee. And as a young child, I remember, and she would say, try. And actually it was something that I have fond memories of. You wouldn't think that as a normal American child that grandma serving you up a buttered roll with slathered in sauteed onions, but it was delicious, so fond memory. And she used to make soups from scratch, and the holidays were very important to her and to my grandfather. Just fond memories, and I'm privileged to continue serving up some of the foods that she made when I was a child.
Do you have salo?
No, we don't. That's a very acquired taste. I mean, when people really understand what salo is, I think they would get turned off, you know. Congealed pork fat, you know, obviously it seasons. And actually I have somebody, the butcher across the street, who's actually of Ukrainian descent, Bajinsky Meat Market, is now called East Village Meat Market, gave me a piece on Saturday. The butcher there that's making it said, you have to try it. You know, it's my own recipe. And it is an acquired taste. I don't think it was something that I would gain traction on the menu though.
Getting back to you just a little bit of with the transition, now that you're handing over the reins, did you have that problem with your father-in-law on handing over the reins to you?
Well, he passed away suddenly of a heart attack in Veselka late one evening. So the family, my mother-in-law, brother-in-law asked me to, you know, take over and run it in the short term until they figured out what to do. So yeah, we didn't go through a planned transition. It happened suddenly.
Wow. You know, that that is a shock, but it's probably where he wanted to go. Gonna leave. That's where he would have, into the rainbow.
Yeah, he wasn't in good health. He had heart problems. Ever since I met him, you know, he would put little white pills under his tongue and was having chest pain often.
When you think about that, you think about where they had come from and their youth, wherever it was, nutrition wasn't very good. And also the trauma that they've experienced onto them, bringing it to this country and bringing it through their DNA. Michael, do you find that the people that you are talking to had that stoicism was just something to hide behind because of all the trauma that the young people are now experiencing after 30 years of living in an independent Ukraine and now going through what their grandparents and great-grandparents have gone through?
Are you speaking specifically of people like Vitaly and Dima?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I've learned in general is in knowing so many of these people for the last 2 years is I think Ukrainians as a whole are very stoic. Now I can't, because I haven't lived in their shoes, I can't say if the origins of, you know, Russian oppression and things of that nature. I see them as a very family-centric, hardworking people. So you can call it stoic, or you can just kind of like, you know, call it nose to the grindstone. Like I see it that way too, is like they're just very serious about the things they care about. But then there's the added level of the war. And so when I entered into the restaurant on that 11th day, obviously there was the weight of the war impacting everybody. I think what's telling about the movie is over time, even though the war continues to get worse, there were some pockets of time where things seemed to get a little better. But even in those first like 6 months when things were pretty bad, you know, you started to see people open up a little bit. And I think, again, this would just be guessing based on my observation, people wanted to tell their story, that they thought that there was an importance to sharing it given what was going on. Whereas initially it was like, no, let me just do my work. Let me care about my family. And please, you know, we'll do this another time, as Vitaly says, and rightfully so. So I just kind of waited patiently. And, you know, Jason was always my kind of liaison to everybody. So he would let me know if something was happening in someone's life, or they were more comfortable with like me coming in and kind of talking to people in a more one-on-one situation. But largely, I just kind of let life unfold.
There is always a saying that if a Ukrainian wants to tell their story, they need to have it told by someone who is a non-Ukrainian. Because there's so much, and how do you explain it to someone when they say, well, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Jason, I think, as Michael was saying, you are probably the closest to what's really happening. And how do you see what you hear from your family? Because that's what it feels like to me, you know, a found family that you've stitched.
The extended family in the restaurant. Well, you know, we've been working with Vitaly for, you know, 10 years. I mean, Tom initially started the process with him getting legalized here, and he's been a trusted, valued member of the staff, and he's now become part of our extended family, you know, living with Tom, as well as his mother living with Tom. I really have enjoyed having him. I respect him. I trust him. I mean, it's somebody that I wouldn't want to, you know, I wish I had 100 Vitalis, to be honest, because he has the best interest, and he knows that what Veselka means and, you know, its background. And I think he's proud to be, I mean, he's said on many occasions, and actually we've had Q&As for since the movie's been released, but he didn't want to come on Saturday because he felt that we, with the, you know, that we're at the 2-year marking of this war, he felt very emotional that, you know, that this film captured all the his trials and tribulations in the first year, but not a whole lot's changed in the second year, and things are becoming bleaker in Ukraine with the whole, you know, raising monies in the political hot potato in Washington. I really hope, and he said many times, I would trade all of this just for peace. But I think it was important that we shared the story, and I'm so blessed to have people, hardworking people, Ukrainians, and I'm trying to fill those big footsteps that my grandfather and my father have set before me and try to just continue the legacy. And that's what a part of this movie was about. My father spending many years and staying the course and staying true to not being Ukrainian himself. I think he has an expression. What is that? I'm not Ukrainian by persuasion, but.
Well, I am Ukrainian by persuasion. I'm not of Ukrainian persuasion. I'm Ukrainian by persuasion.
There you go. I think that was a great line that he states. So, I mean, I think that's in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell.
Overall, I'm finding the people in this country are really very supportive. They're trying to help, just as what Tom did, bringing people into their homes. Why do you think that there's a change in the thoughts about all of this, about the war?
I hate to get on a political soapbox, but unfortunately, our previous president has set the tone, and there's a caucus in Congress that feels that, you know, that the money that's being earmarked or continuing to be spent should be spent elsewhere. But, you know, it's pennies on what our defense budget is, and the Ukrainians have always asked just for the weapons, never asked for boots on the ground. And if they don't get the proper funding, you know what, Ukraine will fall, and that's not where I don't think that's where Putin's end game is. So we've asked people, you know, I think the movie talks about just trying to pay it forward in some small way by helping bring people here, raise awareness, call your congressman. I think for the most part, the New York Congress people are in favor of the bill. Like you said, there's a majority. Obviously, the Senate overwhelmingly approved it 70-30. But it's Congress in the middle America and those swing states in Florida and Michigan and others, Ohio, where the, you know, they feel that why should they continue to support Ukraine? I mean, a lot of people don't understand the history. Obviously, I'm sure you do. It's an independent country of 30 years. The Budapest Memorandum, we had the third largest arsenal of nuclear weapons prior to becoming independent, signed a treaty with the US and Russia to give up those arsenal of nuclear weapons to respect their borders. So the US needs to stand by that treaty and continue to support and hold Russia accountable.
Michael, what are you hoping that your film now will be able to do in this sense?
Well, I mean, there's this thing with Mayor Adams that not only informs kind of the path that Jason had to take. You know, you have a local leader and a mayor who's just like torn between too much messaging at an event that clearly he should just be thinking about Ukraine. And at that point in the movie, you know, it kind of kicks off act two with Jason now having to be the local leader. And I think there's many takeaways I want audiences to have from the movie, but I think that Mayor Adams scenario, we all should kind of look to these leaders for limited support. We should all really take future in our own hands and use Tom and Jason as the example of simple gestures, starting with simple gestures. In their case, you know, selling borscht and giving those proceeds to Ukraine. That was one step, right? And then supporting the local church and the local community, you know, those kind of things, paying it forward, have huge resonance. And I think if we all just think as our own kind of local leader, we can get a lot done. And actually, I just want to share something that just came in. This is actually very exciting news. We have been extended in New York City for another week.
Wow, great.
Oh, yeah, congratulations.
I just got the email just now, so.
We need to make sure everybody knows about it.
I heard about you on Facebook. Stephen Witte, who's part of the New York Critics Circle, I wrote to him and said, well, when can I talk to these people? What can I talk to them? I know I go in there. I love what you're bringing to the table. I make borscht, but my husband makes it better than I do. I make varenike, and it brought home that whole idea of you had to learn how to make the dough. And I saw your operation, and it's amazing to see that there are still women now that are coming. They're making these wonderful things for the people that are homesick for their country. They always talked about their homeland. And when I went to Ukraine with my father, he said, there's something that calls you back home, that takes you back to see your home one more time before you go off to the rainbow, to the end of that rainbow, and find your pot of gold. You have really established a place where people can come and get that feeling. It's not easy. And a lot of people find that home life is hard. And I saw in your film, Michael, it really showed such longing for them to be back. Mm-hmm. What do you tell them when you ask them those questions? How do you get that out of them? They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, two thoughts I'm going to give you. First, more to what you were saying initially. You know, I'm in the restaurant often, especially in this last week or two with the movie. And one thing I actually noticed yesterday that is distinctly different from a lot of other restaurants is this sense of like mutual respect amongst tables. And then this is a weird way to put it, but like, I think people know what they've got when they're in Veselka, and you really feel like people aren't being loud. They're like, you really feel like they respect the place. And the other wonderful thing about Veselka, I hate restaurants that have music and TVs, and they have either. And actually,
trust me, we've had pressure to do both, have both, but we've held off. No, I know we're not. We won't.
No, because then I think that's part of what does make it feel like home, right? It's like this one place you can escape the noise. Like how, you know, if you're in a house with family, there's always somebody on a phone or a device or watching a TV. You go to Veselka and it's like, oh, it's just like human chatter, right? It's like analog. it's just like, it's a nice throwback. And yeah, no, yesterday I just noticed that it's like everybody really, you can tell, cares for the place in this really subtle way. But then to your other question, as far as trying to get any sort of information out of people, it was a challenge initially. I mean, you saw in the movie in act one, like I had to infuse myself into the story, which I didn't want to do, but I needed to convey to the audience that like, you know, there might not be a story to share because, or if there is, it's that people are going through such struggle and it, rightfully so, that they just feel conflicted and they don't want to tell their story. They're just so wrapped up in their head about thinking about home in Ukraine. And so one of the things that was, you know, most producers would say I'm stupid because they would just look at this as like, this is business. You got to get this done and you got to, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's as a business person. I didn't ask anybody to sign releases until like after everybody had seen it, really, as you know, the Ukrainian staff, because I always thought that if they were presented with a piece of paper on day one, it would be like, what is this? Like, what am I getting into here? And I never wanted it to feel transactional with anybody. I wanted it to just be like, hey, I want to get to know you. I want to hear your story. And like Jason, you know, would kind of let people know because there was all these news crews coming in the first, you know, few weeks. And it quiet, like when we first started shooting, it kind of quieted a little bit, but Jason would let them know like, oh, he's with us. And I think even though Jason would say that to them, I think they still kind of gave me the side eye. Like, I don't know. I don't know what with us means. That's the sense I got. And then over a couple of weeks, I think they realized, no, he's with us. Like he's like, Jason made me a part of the family and my team part of the family. And I think once that happened and they saw that, then they were willing to speak very openly. So there was no like directorial magic or any sort of manipulation. It was just like, you know, like I just sat back and waited, and we filmed what we could, and we kind of, Jason would tell me when certain key moments in their operation were going to happen, whether it was with the meetings for the renovation or if something was happening in someone's life, and then we would just prepare to film it.
Jason, do you have one more thing to say to us before we have to wrap this up?
As I mentioned, I mean, I think Mike has said this in previous interviews. I don't want people to take this takeaway as a war movie. I think it's an antidote to a war movie. I think it just shows the story of, you know, what my grandfather started as a small place of refuge for his friends and his compatriots and his love for Ukraine, that, you know, that we've built this, you know, establishment now in his memory. We continue to live his memory, but to keep Ukrainians in your thoughts and try to advocate as best as you can and pay it forward. You know, every little small part, whether it's, you know, we've partnered with a local nonprofit that's been very vocal in Razem for Ukraine, which means together for Ukraine. They're continuing to raise funds for humanitarian relief efforts. A World Central Kitchen, we continue to earmark part of our sales from a special Vareniki bowl here. I partnered with Save for Ukraine, which is trying to reunite children who were kidnapped to Russia. I mean, just there's so many ways to continue to help. So I would please spread that message as we go into a third year of this conflict. We have to continue what we can best for our fellow Ukrainians abroad, here and abroad.
And Tom, it could have just ended after your father-in-law died, and you kept it going. You're the anchor, and then you raised your son, and you have your granddaughter, you have a family that's really involved in this. You kept it going.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky that it survived, because we in the 70s, we went through a really, really rough time, and I literally just hung on by my fingertips. But I feel so incredibly fortunate on many levels that we were able to survive, that the community, the East Village, supported us, and you know, all the incredible hardworking Ukrainians and Polish people, and we also have other, you know, many nationalities working in Veselka. That's one of the things I'm the most proud of. You know, that I'm proud of them, that as diverse and different as they are, they all come to work and work together. And you know, I'm coming more and more to the realization that this really is a magical place, and it's for many reasons, but part of it is, you know, these incredible hardworking immigrants, the incredibly reliable and hardworking and devoted. You know, I couldn't be more grateful.
I want to thank you so much for talking with me on this, because we are watching, waiting, hoping, praying, and doing the little things that we think are little, but they're so worth it. It's worth so much to the people there that we know that we do care about them, and we do want this to end, and anything that we can do to help, we're there. So I want to thank you all for this. It's an incredible home story. Family, food, and a lot of love with the community and your found family. And Michael, thank you for making the film. Tom and Jason, thank you for keeping Veselka alive and well. And I'll be waiting for the end of the rainbow for that pot of gold.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just as the rainbow is often perceived as rare and magical because it occurs under specific conditions, so is the film Veselka, the rainbow on the corner at the center of the world. It's a rare look inside a mural-laden eatery where respect and dignity take precedence through the simplicity of traditional home-cooked meals and people caring about others. Pay it forward, do what you can. During our conversation, Michael got the call that we'll be playing for another week at Village East by Angelica on 2nd Avenue, New York City at 7 and 10 p.m. Don't miss it. Spread the word spread the love. Thanks for listening.